Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon Pacific time, we will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. As I'm sure many of you expected to hear Marvin's voice, we do expect him to be back next week, but he is out there helping many young people himself right now. Now, our topic today is becoming aware, how to repattern your brain and revitalize your life. Our guest today, Lisa Garr, is the author of Becoming Aware, and she has dedicated her life to the awareness of herself and her surroundings. Now, based on a desire to live in a more conscious world, Lisa created The Aware Show, a radio talk show program focusing on self-development in all areas of life, especially healing and achievement. She is also the host of the popular Aware Teleseminars, which presents many of the thought leaders of our world today. And she is considered an expert in the field of lifestyle and transformational programming, which you can learn more about by listening to one of her shows, her Aware Show, which airs on KPFK 90.7 FM on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and KTLK AM 1150 on Sundays. So Lisa is also, she's a certified practitioner in neurolinguistic programming and a consummate athlete. She comes from a long line of entertainers, including her aunt, actress Terry Garr, and her grandmother, Phyllis Garr, an original Radio City Music Hall rockette. Lisa, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your wonderful program. You provide such an incredible service to people. Thank you.
Well, and right back at you, because you know I had a chance to listen to your show, and I love the fact that it has such an incredible positive message. I mean, and that's, you know, it's something that we're really lacking in this world today is, mm-hmm. you know, people that can listen to a show or watch a show and really come away feeling like you've been touched in areas that will really make you think, but do so in a very positive way. So again, thank you as well.
Yes, it's set in that energy, absolutely, to provide information to people that's practical, that they can walk away with and use, but also a bit of an oasis. It's an hour of positive programming that really inspires people, and that's the whole goal. And it's also, you know, not preachy. We are definitely, as well as you do, addressing very practical, real situations, but providing a lot of answers and a lot of solutions. That's kind of something I'm very committed to. I don't like just talking on a high level. It's got to make sense to people.
Exactly. And as you said, something that people can walk away and use right at that moment. You know, I felt after mm-hmm. listening to the show that it helped pump me up for the day. So,
yes.
So again, I appreciate it. Now again, I've been fortunate. I've had now a chance to be able to read the book, and I really, really love it. And I love the way that you've sort of broken it down. You know, you talk about, you know, some of your own story, but you know, also talk about how people can take these tools that you've learned and use them to benefit their own life. So, let's talk a little bit about the book, and I'd like to start with, you know, remembering the past. So you can just tell us a little bit about, you know, what was your consciousness wake-up call?
Well, it was a wake-up call that I think the only way I would have gotten it was the severity of the accident that I went through, because I was going through your typical trajectory of life of the overachiever, working 24/7. I was in the, and still am, but the entertainment industry for me, I was working in network television. And for me, it was very competitive, very much of how many more hours can I work than you? And I got this, you know, I got sucked into it. And it's typical of somebody who has dreams and aspirations but doesn't have a purpose. There's a difference between a goal and a purpose. A goal without a purpose is a goal unfulfilled, in my opinion, because you're aimless. And that's how I was. I was aimless in my pursuit of a career, so to speak. And I was also at the same time professional athlete and raced pretty severe conditions in mountain bike racing. And that was my thing. Mm. I still absolutely love to ride. But I was, again, taking that to the extreme level as well. This particular race was a California State Championship Series, and it was 108 degrees out. It was 5,000 feet of climbing, and it was about a 27-mile race, which wasn't that long, but it was the climbing that was so intense, and the heat was brutal for me. And I wound up getting heat exhaustion and passed out right before the finish line. I mean, just before the end of the race, which was, finish line was at the bottom of a hill. It was a descent to the finish line, which was easy for me because I love descending. And I must have just let it go in my brain and thought, okay, I've got this now. And I let go completely. I mean, I passed out while I was still on the bike. So fell down a long hill, cracked my helmet in several places, caused severe brain damage when I hit the ground. And I didn't recognize the brain damage until I woke up in the hospital without the ability to speak. I had damaged the right prefrontal cortex of my brain, and it was not feeding the right signal to the language patterns of my, that I'm so grateful to be able to do today. And it's one of the reasons I started a radio show, is because I couldn't talk. And I didn't have a voice in many, many ways in my life, in many, many ways. And this is sometimes what happens, especially to address your topic here of children, is that they're taught not to have a voice and they're treated as little people. And many people make decisions for them and they have to fit into a system that is called school or a certain system of a bureaucracy. And it's not a conditioned, patterned behavior to say, you have a voice, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? And even though you might not know it, it's like, where are the choices? Here's five choices. Which one do you want of that? That's not given to us a lot as young people. And so I had to find my voice through my recovery. And for anyone who's been through any type of concussion, brain injury, bump on the head, blackout, you know what it's like to get through that fog of a brain injury. It's a sleeper because you don't realize that okay, so the bump happened or the blackout happened, and you wake up and you might, you know, feel in a fog for a couple of days, but you don't know that fog can last for years. Uh-huh. Years. And no one is there to really tell it to you, except for if there happens to be someone who has patience around you to be able to manage this for you. But most of our loved ones around us or caregivers don't notice that you have a post-concussive syndrome and don't notice the effects of the brain fog that you deal with and the memory lapse and the adjustments in anger and so forth that happen as a result of a head injury. You have a swollen brain, and there's not a quick fix for it, but there's so many things that I wrote about in this book, and it's my first book, so yes, I packed a lot into it of how to deal with brain injuries, how to find your voice, and then here's some spiritual practices around how to make it last. I mean, yeah, there's a lot for me to say. So that was the beginning of my journey of how I was rudely awakened into consciousness, and that was the most important and necessary thing for me to have happened in my life. Absolutely.
Now, what seemed to turn it around from the standpoint, did you have to realize that you had to communicate what other people weren't picking up on? I mean,
yes,
I would think there's a fear there of sharing that.
Yes, yes. And the fear of not being able to speak also, when I was in that experience where the doctor was saying, what's your name, what's your birth date, and all of that information, I knew. It was in my brain. It was just the synapse was broken between that and what I could actually say. And when I realized that, I panicked completely. I just panicked. I thought, I why can't I say anything? I know who I am. And then the doctor handed me a piece of paper and a pen to write down the information. And then I was released from the hospital. The next day, I was released. So it wasn't anything that they just said, oh, it'll come back. But for me, I had to figure out, and I've always been the curious person as to figuring out why and how did this happen and what does it look like in order to recover. And so I found, after several months of being, you know, of slowly recovering the language pattern, which it does slowly recover, but I found my way to a doctor that did neurofeedback and EEG. And that was a magnificent discovery for me. And neurofeedback not only helps with what I had, which was a brain injury, but it helps with everything from fear, anxiety, depression, all the way up to peak performance and focus, but it's all non-invasive and non-medical. And all it does is are you familiar with EEG technologies at all?
Yes, 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 I am. In fact, I was in a position to need to learn about it after a relative broke his neck. And mm-hmm. so they needed to get, and the neurofeedback actually gave them some use of their arms, some use of parts of their body that they had not had use of prior. So,
yes, I'm
familiar with the value of it.
It's amazing. I mean, the kids that I was sitting with in the waiting room that were also receiving this type of treatment had severe epilepsy or were very high on the autistic spectrum, and they were actually getting better. When I was in the waiting room with the parents were talking about how they were getting their children back and able to communicate with them again. And it was amazing to see the effects of this type of very, very old technology. I mean, it's 50, 60 years old, but it is, I think it's under-recognized because it has so much potential, I don't know. Because it takes maybe 20, 30 sessions in order to really get the full effects of it. Maybe it's not a quick fix type of thing. In my case, it took about a year. But I went from not being able to speak to becoming a talk show host. I think that's worth a year in my life.
Absolutely.
I think that's worth two. I mean, oh, it's fine. But for what it gives you, it balances the brain. So what it does is you put the electrodes on the scalp, and then it feeds back to the program in the computer a frequency. And it's all about frequency. And this is how I learned what I teach now about frequency and visualization. But for me, it was the frequency that would go from the program to my brain. It would send a certain frequency, and my brain would have to match that and send it back. That's the biofeedback loop. Well, it wouldn't match it. It would barely send back a signal. So that's how they determined the areas of my brain that was damaged. And then it started to play kind of a brain game with my brain. Uh-huh. It sent a signal and asked that cortex of my brain to respond and send back a signal. And if it sent back the right signal, it would send a reward. On the screen would appear some very familiar images, like a small little square of a hot air balloon, you know, the colorful, very popular image. So I would get the small square. And then the more that my brain would entrain to that signal and would reawaken that cortex of the brain, and all it was neurons building together, little teeny neurons building together. It would fire together and wire together. Then it would send me back another square of the balloon. And so the brain wants a reward, right? There's a big emphasis on the reward signal coming back from the brain, and that's why so many people get addicted to amphetamines and drugs because it's and sugar because it's going after the reward system in the brain, right? Well, this can also be achieved in an alternative way, and it actually can help tremendously with addiction issues because it sends a positive reward back to the brain of the same pattern. It gets that same type of dopamine response, but you're building a hot air balloon and or lines on a road or flowers or grass or something. And it's really incredible. It's really incredible for what I was able to do was rebuild the language pattern of my brain, but I also helped me deal with depression and different types of situations that come from memory loss and after, you know, post-concussive system where you really do get into a dark, dark space with being in a cave. You really feel alone because you can't trust yourself. You can't trust what you said. People say you said things you don't remember. It gets very isolating and very scary. And I think I'm a big fan of neurofeedback. People can find neurofeedback centers all or practitioners wherever you are, wherever you live. They exist. People have in-home units you can, you know, use and find people who actually can help you with it. And it's a very great technology and non-invasive, which I love.
Wow. Yes, absolutely. And I know in that chapter of your book, the area where you talk a lot about healing your brain, share with everybody a little bit about what you thought the secret was. Was there a particular secret, that little thing that you went, this is it right here?
For me, it was, and this is something that I have learned many, many times since that accident that I had, is every single thing that we see right now, the desk that we're sitting in front of, or the phone we're talking on, or the radio that we're listening to, or the cell phone, it had to have been imagined first. Somebody had to have imagined this device, this thing, this whatever physical thing that we're looking at. The same goes with your life. You have to be able to imagine the outcome before you can achieve it. And this is something that my incredible great mentor, Wayne Dyer, taught me, who I am so saddened by the loss of. He just passed away yesterday. And he taught me in his incredible writings about imagining and being able to physically see your future, your desired outcome. And he wrote in his book, Excuses Be Gone, that there are no excuses. If you can visualize it, if you can see it, then you can attain it. And it takes discipline, and it takes a practice, a specific practice. I was able to visualize my way to healing by imagining, and it was a step-by-step process, but imagining what it would be like if I could talk again, how it would be to host a full show, and what I wanted to do with this particular show that I created. And the show I created out of a purpose, and I want to circle back to that in a second, but the secret to visualization and the secret to really being able to, in your mind's eye, visualize the outcome is extremely important, and it starts to align the rest of your brain with that outcome and align the rest of your thoughts and your actions with achieving that outcome. It's really very important. That's what I figured out.
Yeah. I think that's huge. And I actually hadn't heard. I also have read or listened to most everything that Wayne Dyer has put out, and I hadn't heard that. So as you were speaking, I was sitting here thinking I didn't realize that we lost him yesterday.
I am so sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, it was a huge loss for our community, and also he is such an incredible icon of love. He said, and I just want to read a quote that he posted on his family posted on his Facebook page, that he said, "We are not our bodies, our professions, or our careers. We are divine love, and that is infinite. And that is so true. We are such infinite beings of divine love. Absolutely. And that, and I believe that he, you know, will represent even more of that as we recognize what an icon he was and still can be.
Exactly. I was just going to say, and he still can be through us and others that feel that his teachings have helped us in our own life. It now becomes incumbent upon us to continue to pass that information out there to other people.
Absolutely. He wrote the foreword to my book, and we were very, very good friends, and I do miss him. It was shocking, yes.
Yeah. Shocking. Well, you know...
So we will continue his work on.
Absolutely, yes. And also, in your book, you talk about, you know, again, you go into the part about healing your brain, you talk about healing your body, but you talk about healing your life. So, in there, you speak about the changes, you know, that occurred in your life and what type of person you wanted to evolve into. And I thought that was so powerful because it's realizing that you can evolve into this person and then saying to yourself, okay, I know that these things have occurred. I want to evolve into this. So if you can share with our listeners, share with all of us, how you use this to not only heal your brain and your body, but your whole life.
Yes, I believe in this wonderful thing that Oprah said. She said the greatest way to self-healing is to help others. And I see that as so true because I started to do this broadcasting of this radio show out of a desire to let people know what I was able to do. I was able to heal, but not only that, it's not a one-time fix. It's a continual process of these brilliant authors and people that have contributed so much with their bodies of work. To get their information out there is my greatest purpose, is to really let people know that there are ways to heal your body, to heal your brain, to have relationships change, to increase your level of conscious communication. I mean, it's all out there. And I'm one of the biggest proponents of being a beacon, providing the biggest platform possible for these wonderful, brilliant authors to come through and get their messages out to more and more people. I think that many people and many of us, and I've been there, don't think we have a choice and don't see because we've been given dealt a certain, you know, deck of cards or hand that this is it. And that is not true. There are so many options available of healing, and there are so many choices that people can make to change the trajectory of their life. All it takes is curiosity and inquiry and the willingness to want to dive into the information that's available. And that's why I say that it goes back to the whole idea of purpose. When you start to align yourself with purpose and with the reason why you do things, and if it's to help other people, I found that to be the biggest formula for success of all of the people that I've ever interviewed, or they all are have that incredible desire to take their story and use it to help other people, that it's one of the things that keeps you going day after day after day. And it turns a job into a vocation. It turns it into a purpose. It turns it into something that you want to get up and do every single day. And you can find that purpose within whatever job that you have. You could help your coworkers. You could be the voice for a group of people at work. You could be an incredible leader. I mean, whatever it is, you can find that purpose within whatever it is that you're doing. And it keeps you going every single day.
I couldn't agree more, and I've shared that with so many people and with my own children. Do something that you love. It will not be a job. It will be something that you will want to do. You will want to get up. You will want to go out there and make a difference in other people's lives. And that's something that you, Lisa, are doing. Now, for everybody, if you want to follow along, we're going to take a break in a moment, but you can go to Lisa's website, which is theawareshow.com. You can, if you're sitting at your desk right now, you can open up another window. You can follow along with us. Again, obviously don't try this if you're driving. You know, you can follow along, but we're going to take a break. But everybody stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You are listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Our guest today is Lisa Garr, and we are talking about becoming aware. You know, she, in her book, Becoming Aware, talks about not only her own story, but how to live an aware life. And so, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the living the aware life, you know, how you manifest what you want in your own life. And do you believe that this is something that everyone can do if they go out to try to reach their true potential?
Yes, yes. And the reason I love the beautiful art of visualization is that it doesn't cost anything. You don't need to have a degree in it. You can simply close your eyes and let your imagination guide you. And sometimes it helps in the beginning to have a guide take you through some of the processes. In my book, I actually included a two visualization processes. And for anyone who has a cell phone, I've got QR codes in there. And you can just scan your phone across the QR codes. And it takes you to two of them, 15-minute video visualization processes. And I'll explain them. All it is closing your eyes and just getting your body centered and feet on the floor so that you really can ground your body and connect and drop your shoulders and just be in a place where your body is tethered. And that's important because the journey we're going to take is in our mind's eye. So the body being comfortable is very important. And then I go through this elevator step process where you enter into a very safe elevator, or if people wanted, they could step onto a cloud that's starting to float up. And you pass through a floor of judgment. And you realize that you can make a choice to pass over that floor and to keep rising up and up and up, because you're realizing you're on the elevator of consciousness. And judgment is not in the direction of consciousness. It's something that we've done, that we've visited, we've been there, done that, don't need to go there again, can rise above it. So we rise above that level of judgment, and then another floor appears, which is the floor of negative thoughts. And we've been there and done that, and we know what that looks like, so we really don't need to visit that floor. So we rise up above that and keep going higher and higher and higher to our highest level of consciousness and higher brain thinking and higher brain living. So there's a floor that then we come to that's called Your Dream Realized. And you step into this floor of how you would love to see your life as, and you step into that life. You step into the ideal life. So you step into the hug of the ones that you love and incredible gratitude for those that have helped you along your way. And you look back to all of the events and situations and circumstances that have happened. And even though at the time they might have felt they were extremely difficult or dark or tragic, you look at them and you find the gift and the blessing in each one of those. And if that hadn't happened, you wouldn't have set this huge desire out to find this place now of joy and gratitude and laughter. And then as you immerse yourself in that feeling of the joy and the gratitude and the laughter, and maybe, and you go through all five senses, you feel the hugs, you shake the hands, you hear people telling you congratulations, or I knew you could do this, or thank you for helping me. You smell the smells of around you, and you hear, and you feel, and you touch, and you believe that this is the right place for you. And then go into the future and see how many people are impacted as a result of this momentous moment in your life. What future generations can you impact? Who can you help? Who can you guide? Who can you inspire as a result of this goal, this dream realized? And you immerse yourself in that moment. And then you step back onto the cloud and you bring back that feeling and that vibration and that essence of that dream realized back into your body now. And what it does is it builds in the brain physical neurons, neural bundles in the brain that actually form a bundle. They form a physical bundle, and that's what a memory is. When something that is lit up with all of these senses in the brain form together, they physically form together, and they cause what's a memory. What is a memory? And so your body, your actions, your thoughts, your words will start to align towards that bundle. It will start to feed it and realize that that's what you want. And the more you think about it during the day, or the more you do like a little 5-minute visualization of that same dream, you ignite that memory again, you're feeding it. You're feeding that, you're connecting the neurons again. You're building bridges and tendrils within those bundles. You're strengthening it so that it physically becomes something that you start to desire and move towards. And it's a combination of a little bit of the brain science and the visualization that can take you to your next level. So yes, anyone can do it. Understanding the science behind it helps me. So it's a part that I added into the book. I learned so much from one of my other mentors, Dr. Joe Dispenza, that does such an incredible job of... there's a great video on his website that shows a video of these neurons building together and firing and wiring together. It's drjoedispenza.com. And it's a great visual to see this process. But he really explains how this is an actual occurrence that happens in the brain. So the more that you use these types of visualization techniques, I set anchors throughout my day. So if I get in the car, I'll set, like dropping an anchor. I'll set a little reminder, a visual reminder of myself for that dream realized or that goal realized. If I, first thing in the morning when the alarm goes off, instead of jumping out of bed and getting to the, kids to school and so forth, I spend a few minutes and just, what does my day need to look like? What do I want to create today? And I thank God for all of the support that he and the world and the universe will give me that day. And I just, those little things are just firing the neurons together so that they wire together.
Well, I think that's beautiful. And I have a similar type of thing, and as you say, as far as starting out the morning, and I'm fortunate that I live a few houses away from a what we call a wilderness or a butterfly park. It is full of eucalyptus trees. So when you talk about the smells and in this time of year, the butterflies that come because of the milkweed that's been planted there, so that they come to this place, and to go there and just walk the dogs and really feel like I'm not in a city anymore. I am just, in my own little world. And so, yes, I completely agree. it's such a blessing to be able to go and do that and kind of clear your head before we go out and start this busy day that we've chosen.
Absolutely. That's another thing in the book is that connection with nature. It is essential to move your body every day so that the blood moves. It detoxifies, it naturally detoxifies not only the toxins throughout the body, it detoxifies those, but it detoxifies your negative thoughts because you start to produce more serotonin, more norepinephrine, all those great happy chemicals that come as a result of exercise. It's not only for the runners, the runner's high, it can happen for the walkers too. Oh, there's a walker's high. Because I've been walking in the early mornings a lot lately because it's so bloody hot where I live. But it's so beautiful to connect with that as the moon is setting and the sun is rising. Just, it's such a communion with nature. And that is my church, absolutely. It really reminds you, and you unhook and you don't take the phone with you and you just connect. You just connect with God and all that is. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned about clearing out the toxins, and you mentioned about some of the negative thoughts. There's a lot of people out there that may be listening that are thinking, you know, I'm not getting over this hump. I've tried this or this or this or this. What do you feel are the major factors that hold people back from reaching their full potential, and what are some of the things that maybe they haven't tried that they can do to overcome their own obstacles?
I have been there and on both sides of this spectrum, so I know how the default mechanism is to look at what is the situation of, okay, here's the bank account, or here's this miserable relationship, or here's this situation that I'm going back into today. It's very easy to see that. What I'm inviting people to do, and this is the discipline work, this is the disciplinary work, is to consciously force yourself to change your thoughts into that dream realized. You may not feel like it. You may think this is the last thing on my mind. This is a pipe dream. But you have to fake it till you make it, until you can start to get that as a regular pattern in your brain. And then you start to see the things in your life change. The reason that sometimes people create more of the same is because they're focusing on it. They're focusing on more of the same. You have to basically trick your brain and change it. It's not a trick. It's more of a game. If you can go into that suspended belief for a minute, you have to have that exercise, that practice of really looking at what is possible, focusing on what is possible rather than the same situation of what is that might be fatalistic, catastrophic. Yes, that is very easy to do. What I'm saying to do is to do something different. Focus on something different. Focus on what you want. It requires discipline. I'm not going to say it's hard, because once you get over that hump of doing it the first few times, you start to say, okay, well, this is fun. I mean, I actually could enjoy this. If it's for 2 minutes, just do it and enjoy it. And don't look at the bank account or the thing that's there. Literally just for those few moments, go into that place of suspended belief and discipline yourself to focus on what it is that you want to create, and do that as a mindful practice, 2 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, if you can manage it, and start to see and even expect things to change in your life, because they start to align. And it's been written about, and there's quantum physics behind it, and that you can read about. But it really, and no matter what the situation, as broken as you feel, you've got to have a little glimpse or a ray of something that makes you feel better, something that gives you a ray of hope. And that's how you can start to change your situation, is by creating something different. And you can just do it with your mind.
You know, and I just had this conversation with a guest just this last weekend, and the conversation kept coming back to all of the things that are going on at the new on the news, and he talks about he's talking to me about the fact that he doesn't watch some of the types of TV that I may watch, but he makes sure and watches the news every day, and he kept talking about all of these things, and I said, let's change the subject. He goes, what do you mean? I said I don't watch the typical network news anymore, because it just takes me away from the things that I'm focused on and the things that I want to change or the goals that I'm setting. And I talked to him about it, and I said, you may want to, get away from that for a little while, because it seems to be bringing in so much negativity that it's causing stress in your life.
Yes, I do understand that for a while. That's important. I listen to a news station here in Los Angeles that gives you the news every 15 minutes, like they do it in 15-minute chunks. Uh-huh. And I do feel that it's important to be aware uh-huh. of what is going on in the world. I can listen to it from more of an energetic perspective. So today they were talking about ending the death penalty in California state law. And I energetically looked at all of these people on death row and felt what this would mean to them, felt of their life is their life in prison. And what would that life be like, or how would it be different if that death penalty were to get lifted? And I just tapped into that for a second and then moved on. It's important to look at it from an energetic perspective and to be aware of what's going on in your world. Because
sure.
It's important. And then, and build your, if you can grow a garden, get off, get on solar if you possibly can, to find and build sustainable energy sources in your world, do condensation capturing devices, things like that. There are important things to know about in order to be aware of and to take action on. But I have a different perspective on that. I do listen mm-hmm. to the news, but I do it in a different way. I listen with an energetic perspective, and I take action on the things that I can do something about.
Makes sense to me. We have a couple of questions that have come in via email or instant message, and we have one here that comes in from a listener. And again, to all the listeners, we appreciate it very much. It's this one says, your story is such an inspiring one. I purchased the book and I love it. My cousin had a traumatic brain injury 7 years ago, and the doctors are saying her scans are now clear. But I believe she is keeping the act going and is milking her parents and the system rather than truly becoming aware and taking responsibility for her life. I believe she needs help to get back into into her real life. So my question is, would your book be a good one to give her parents or directly to her?
Well, the reason I wrote the story is so that people could identify through a story of what I've been through. I have heard from so many people since I've written this book and since it's been out that have had post-concussive syndrome and are living with it without realizing it. And it's very important that that person gets some type of help that... when you're dealing with a swollen brain, you don't know it, and it's not diagnosed because there's no device out there that can diagnose it. But what you are living with are things like brain fog, and even though that's not a medical term, but
right.
A very difficult time getting going in the morning and clearing and making any decisions, finding yourself staring for long periods of time. Inability to make any decisions. Choices are overwhelming. You get through, spikes of anger and then severe depression. There's lack, memory holes, all those types of things. And you can look at a simple task list that some days you can do and other days you can stare at for hours and never figure out. And these are things that people need to become aware of and really understand that there are ways out of this. First is recognition. I always say awareness is 80% of any solution. Once you become aware of it, then you are clear to go after what the solutions are. Tons of brain entrainment technologies available online. I'm a huge fan of them. John Assaraf does an amazing one. There's great free ones that Rick Collingwood does. And these are brain entrainment technologies that you just listen to on here on headphones. They start to wake up certain parts of the brain through sounds and frequencies. Uh-huh. Very, very powerful for people with concussion syndromes. And did that address her question? Do you feel that was what she was asking?
Yes. And to me, what I got out of it is that give it to both of them. I mean, because from that standpoint, I think that her cousin, if she reads it, she may see some things in there and say, wow, I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Right.
You know, so, yes, I think it would be great. I'm looking at the time. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Lisa, this has been so wonderful. So a couple of things. One is I'd love to have you back. What are you working on next?
Wow. I'm doing a lot of speaking, public speaking, which is wonderful and exciting because, as you know, on the radio, you don't get to see people face to face. So I really love connecting with our audience. And so definitely watch my website. I have a new, very interesting subject that I'm talking about around light therapy. And light therapy is low-level LED therapy that's incredibly effective for the brain. And so we'll be announcing that in the next couple of days. Brand new technologies out there around, again, non-invasive therapeutic technologies for anxiety, depression, and clarity of thinking.
Oh, wonderful. So for everybody out there, you can go to Lisa's website, theawareshow.com. You can get more information on that. And again, I'd love to have you back. Maybe we can focus on this new light therapy.
Yes, Lisa? Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And for everybody else out there, again, if you miss a show or you want to share this show with your friends, please go to our archives and visit us at answersforthefamily.com. And the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by and like our page. Lisa, have a wonderful week. As everybody else, please have a great and blessed week. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.